Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of February, getting close towards the end of the month. A couple of interesting comments. I did a bit of research on some of the some of the remarks that were made by some of our listeners about what Frieda said. Frieda wasn't the only one who made mistakes. Jimmy spent time in the Ukraine. Jimmy is very familiar with that. We're going to talk about the Ukraine in the first segment of the weekend show, some hard facts that he is very aware of. Now, the situation in the Ukraine right now is really starting to heat up. Jimmy, comments on that?
Well, yeah, I think that the situation, I don't know if it's going to be any hotter than it's been for a while. Look, Russian troops have been involved in the two regions that they've declared independence for since 2014. I mean, they've been 2014, 2015. They've been wanting to annex these areas for a long period of time. They are heavily Russian dominated, though they're inside the territorial boundaries of Ukraine. Some of the comments on the blog, I just want to clarify, for people that, and I think CFS said, hey, he hadn't been there about 4 years. The reality is, from recent polling, and that means within the last few months, about 80% of the population of Ukraine actually would prefer to stay Ukraine and not be connected with Russia. And of course, that other 20% is spread out primarily in the east, the Crimea region, but other areas as well. So it's really not that great of a relationship with Russia. There are ethnic Russians, but that power and influence is diminishing. The Russians definitely have strategic goals there. They have, certainly concern with NATO. A lot of the reasons why the actions are being taken, and look, this is exactly what they did in 2008, what they did at the end of the Soviet Union in Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, but with Abkhazia, Ossetia, and Azara. And then, of course, they did it again in the Crimea in 2013, 2014 timeframe. They've done it in different places. And that's almost like a colonial expansion to regain territories lost in the past. So that's equivalent to like the UK wanting, areas back that they still have large populations in, or that they want to reestablish Great Britain as hegemonic power. But the Russians look at it in a very, they don't trust the West, or at least the media and the leadership do not trust the West, because clearly they're not being taken care of very well. They're not being thought of well. And this is kind of the fallout post-Soviet timeframe when Putin came to power in 99. But Boris Yeltsin, who was in power after the collapse of the Soviet Union, he was really an alcoholic, made some really bad decisions, and their relationship with the West soured very quickly. And over a period of time, who controlled Russia were very powerful oligarchs controlled by a security state. And that's how Putin established himself as basically the latest czar. So that competition with controlled authoritarian leadership attempting to take control of areas. And, Ukraine is a problematic democracy at best. But the vast majority of people would rather be in a EU-NATO relationship than in a Russian-controlled authoritarian relationship. And the Ukrainians themselves, as I say, ethnic Ukrainians, which are actually more, many Orthodox, but more Catholic-oriented, they do not, they don't like the idea of being back under the thumb of Moscow. And if you look at it from a democratic perspective, if that choice is out there, vote. It was pretty clear when Zelensky was elected that that's the direction that Ukraine wanted to go, and Ukrainian people wanted to go. Now we've got very powerful influencers, both here in the United States, in the EU, in Europe, and of course in Russia, that are attempting to play these little tricks and games to influence one way or the other. It's a very, very unsettling direction for the world when great powers and small group of elites are making these decisions in order to achieve their gains, very similar to what happened in the 1912, 1913, 1914 run up to World War One. And, you know, I don't expect it to get there, but it could. No one wanted it. No one expected it in 1914. No one wanted World War.
That's
and
true.
We ended up getting it because of very elite and powerful people making decisions thinking they were doing it for their interests or obligation. And it was absolutely devastating to humanity, economic inputs. It's awful. And I don't think we have a competent leadership in the United States to ensure that that does not happen again.
Yeah. Let's get over to a different subject. I mean, what happens in the Ukraine is going to happen in the Ukraine. You've just got our guesses here, and people seem to be more concerned about the minutiae to pretend that they're the smartest people on the blog. Anyhow, having said that, what's going on with Hunter Biden, Jim?
Okay, so the latest information out of New York Post, some leaked information from an ongoing investigation for tax evasion over Hunter Biden and his hooker girlfriends. And apparently, you know, one of them was very upset that, you know, he dumped her after she recommended he get off drugs. And of course, his baby mama, the stripper, they're both testifying, apparently, according to leaked testimony. Again, this is pretty problematic for the Biden administration. They attempted and they did a very good job of getting the media to not cover this in 2020, especially when the bombshell from the computer dropped. I think they're going to have a much more difficult time because they just don't have the credibility, the administration, the regime, the Biden regime. They don't have the credibility. And it's going to be a popular, interesting story for those that like to follow that stuff. But more importantly, it really does highlight the relation. It will eventually highlight the relationships between the Ukrainian government, Hunter Biden, between Ukrainian oligarchs, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden, and of course, with China and other activities and financial investments and relationships. All of those issues will be very problematic for Biden, especially since they did such a exceptional job in covering it up before the election. He is not in a good way right now. Joe Biden is not.
No.
And so more of these things happen. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. It's going to keep on hurting him. He's not getting better.
No. No, and I think, quite frankly, the way that we're handling the situation in the Ukraine, if the U.S. really escalates, I don't think they will, but if they do, I think that'll be the end of the Democratic Party. Any comments on my comment?
So, I think that the Democratic Party right now is really struggling to figure out which way it's going. You have very senior members of the party saying, what the heck is going on? You've got some of the, you know, some of the mainstream media or the corporate media, bigwigs or head, you know, big faces out there, Jake Tapper, some of these other folks that are actually starting to say, you know, maybe this is the wrong way. You got Bill Maher, which is basically just absolutely trashing the relationship with China, and the people that are sucking up to China in order to make profit and sell out, liberalism. When I say that, I mean classical liberalism, individual choice, freedom, freedom of speech, and so forth. I think, you know, as Trudeau continues to clamp down, as the Democrats try to double down, triple down, quadruple down on their policies, they're continuing to get pushback on, you know, the COVID lockdown stuff, and some of them are still standing for it. You still have Fauci and Walensky saying things. I think they're in deep trouble. And I think with Hunter Biden, more scandals to come, of course, certainly what, you know, may pop from the Durham investigations, if anything, you know, of integrity comes out of there, you've got some very serious problems. And it really depends, honestly, it depends on how effective conservatives or just I don't even want to say the Republican Party, because I really have very little faith in some of the rhino leadership, you know, Mitch McConnell and having Kevin McCarthy, these guys, they don't know the game that they're playing because the other team is absolutely has no moral values. And I don't want to give up my moral or integrity, but you got to realize that that is an incredible battle. Fighting against the media, fighting against the propaganda is the most important fight that there is out there right now. And the fact that they have done such a good job with the tech companies, the corporate global tech companies, and the mainstream, you know, big corporate entities that have media organizations as their propaganda machines, ABC, Disney, you know, NBC, Comcast. I mean, their goals are to get into a Chinese market. Their goals are to expand their market. Their goals are not to protect any individual rights. Their goals are not ESG, environmental, social, governance, investing. Their goals are to make money, and they're going to do it whatever cost. And right now, I think they've been supporting the Democrats because they felt like that they could, you know, they could make a difference. And the Republicans do not understand that fight. And ultimately, that's what it's going to take for the Democrats to have to suffer. Because as you can see in Canada, BBC and the controlled media there is trying to lie and tamp down what happened with the convoy. And it's some, in some cases, it works.
Yeah.
You know, propaganda works.
You know, Jimmy, the one thing I'd want to say to kind of wrap this up in the sense, in a macro sense, is that what's going on in the world right now is certainly very, I mean, it's a very volatile environment. There's no question about that. And I think the Far East, quite frankly, if you define Russia and China as being the Far East, I think they have the upper hand right now. And I think the situation in the United States is going to be really interesting politically. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in the minor elections that are going to occur this month. And it certainly will be interesting to see what's going to happen in the major elections. From the information that I am seeing, I have to say that you and I made a prediction, or I guess I should say I made a prediction that the Democratic ticket would probably be Clinton and Biden. I'm going to stick with that right now unless somebody comes out of the woodwork, but I have to say I don't think that ticket could win, and I'm getting more and more interested and putting more and more credence, quite frankly, in the Trump camp. How about you?
Yeah, I think he's got the most power. He's got the experience. He'll understand what's happening. And I think the pushback is going to be severe with this November. If it will be severe against the Democrats, if the elections are legitimate.
Right.
And that's a big question, because I think.
Did you ever think you'd say that in at any point in your life, if the American elections are legitimate?
It's just absolutely astounding to me. Right. So I was in Tbilisi, Georgia, in the George W. Bush and Clint, or Al Gore race. And we every year, you know, every 4 years, the embassies invite the local government, especially in the former East Bloc country, like to watch the elections.
Right.
So we're watching, and you know, typically you have a winner, you know, announced at some point in the evening. And of course, we are over on the other side of the world, and that was the start of absolute disaster for faith and confidence in the U.S. election system. People just saw that, our European friends, the Georgians, they saw what happened with Al Gore. There was no decisive victory. It goes to court. You want to be thankful that the court process was effective. But what we're seeing now is no one willing to stand up and stop the ridiculousness of the crazy left-wing progressive voting activities. And they're using law, they're using propaganda, they're using media, they're using every bit of resource in order to achieve their goals. So yeah, it's I never thought I'd say it. I never thought I'd say that publicly, but man, there's very little faith right now. And you can't just hope, you got to do something about it.
Yep. So I know, and I'm not sure what we can do at this point. I don't believe in violence in the streets. You know, the old adage, well, you have to, you know, take it to the polls. From what you're saying and from what I believe, I'm not sure that taking it to the polls is going to make a difference. Jim, we've been going close to 15 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, keep them comments coming. As you can see, I'm addressing the majority of them. Jim, thanks so much, man.
Always a pleasure, Al.